Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alrighty, hour number two on this Friday. It's a football Friday, but we're going to deviate from that for a little bit. We did it last segment. I'm going to do this, this Clayton Kershaw situation, which is baffling. I mean, it really is. And we're doing it from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. I thought Kershaw would pitch well last night, and he did for a little bit, but it doesn't matter because it's the totality of the outing that people will remember, not that you actually went to the mound to start the sixth inning in a 1-1 game. Bottom line is this, you didn't get an out in the fifth inning or in the sixth inning. Seven hits, four runs, one walk, four whiffs, a little bit all over the map, a little unlucky as well. There are pounds. It's palpable now, the pressure, not just for Kershaw, who might not get another chance to reverse this narrative if they lose another game here, but also on the manager, Dave Roberts, who continues to blast through the regular season with an A-plus offensive lineup, and by the way, some other good pitchers too, and for whatever reason, if they're not able to do it, you know, win the World Series for the first time since 88 with Kirk Gibson and those guys. So let's first play this cut from Dave Roberts on the growing narrative on Clayton Kershaw, and then we can dig into what exactly went down and where we perceive him to be. Go ahead with Dave Roberts, guys.
I think that he came out and, you know, five innings, one run, and then, what happened right there in that sixth inning, but he gave us a chance to win the baseball game. You know, we couldn't put any runs up early and get a lead and or hold a lead, you know, after the Eddie home run. But that narrative couldn't be further from the truth.
All right. Listen, here's what's so hard for me. You know, and we went through this yesterday when it came up with the whole LeBron thing with the deadspin piece, right? And we referenced some of the guys who, if they had a chance to align themselves with another star, they wouldn't be ringless. The Barclays, the Stocktons, the Paytons, the Ewings, I should say, the Malones, and all those guys. I know I'm missing a few, but you know the names that haven't won a championship. The difference with them, and while I defend their greatness, you could make the case, well, the best player on a basketball team, you know, is probably taking 40% of the shots. He equates to 20% of the guys on the court, etc. One guy can change the dynamics of an entire franchise. We've seen it multiple times over the years. Baseball's different unless you're a pitcher. Now, if you're losing 2-1 and you're hanging on to the antiquated win-loss record, or you're losing 3-2 when there's an absence of run support, that's just a ridiculous argument if you're going to crucify the pitcher. But, you know, when you usually, not that they got runs last night, but when you usually get runs and you usually give them back and you are almost always one of the best pitchers from April through September and you've been that for 15 years almost, I don't know what to tell you anymore, Teague.
Yeah, well,
I don't know what to tell you.
I wonder, and I don't know this answer. I never played baseball, so I don't know. I don't know how the intensity of a moment changes your psyche or pressure of anticipated success makes you get tight. But why is it that Dave Roberts' teams always seem to fall short? And because they are, it feels like they're superior. Now, maybe it's just Herculean efforts by the opponent, and that's obviously been the case in the past Super Bowls. I mean, not Super Bowls, a World Series. And certainly, you know, right now with the Atlanta Braves, who, by the way, are a pretty good team. It's not like say that they're supposed to, you know, win this series running away. Yep. The Braves are pretty good, and we've been saying that all season long. So But why is it? And what is there that can change so precipitously for a team that's so dominant in the regular season but can't do it in the postseason?
I think it's the pace of the game. That's my answer. Like, I do believe that, yes, you grip this thing a little, it's getting away from me. Let me grip this tighter. Just like you grip the golf club tighter, it doesn't work. Just like you grip the bat tighter, it doesn't work. Yes, the strong grip has an adverse effect, whether it's spin rate for a pitcher, whatever it might be, torque and whip for a batter. To me, when you are in this kind of a situation like Kershaw, and Bonds was in this, and I mentioned Alex Rodriguez. He was obviously in this before he burst through in 2009 with the Yankees and went bonkers against the Phillies. Yankees won the World Series, got that monkey off his back. The pace of baseball, there's a heaviness, there's an angst that kind of creeps into the moment because it's such a methodical pace that your mind invariably wanders to places you don't really want it to wander. Now, the only
you mean time, the pace is slower.
The pace is slower,
yeah,
which means you have more time to process things you should not be thinking about as you're trying to slay those demons.
Yeah, which is different in other sports. Like in football, the pace is faster. You know what I mean?
Correct.
So it's almost like you think less because
that's where I was going.
Because you can't.
Correct. Now, the only time you could really think in the NBA is if you're at the free throw line by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You might get a little hitch. You might get a little reluctant. You might get a little whatever. Now, there's also an aversion to taking the final shot. We've talked about James Harden with those problems, well documented. But you think about football. You think about basketball. You think about hockey. If you're a goalie and you're in a funk, and, you're one of these great goalies, say, you take anybody you want. I mean, it could be anybody. It could be Hasek. It could be Eddie Belfour. It could be Billy Smith. Any great goalie, obviously Brodeur, that doesn't have a champion. Lundqvist is the best example because he doesn't have a championship.
Yeah.
He's great. Take Lundqvist. Even if Lundqvist goes into a pivotal Game 5 or Game 6, I've never won, and they're writing about this still, and everybody knows I haven't won, even though I've got all these awards, and everybody knows I'm a Hall of Famer. You're not thinking about that when you're getting 33 shots zipped at you at 100 miles an hour over the course of 3 periods. There's no time to think.
Yeah.
So you're reacting. In baseball, I throw a pitch, I get the ball back, I walk around the rubber, I clean it up, I spit, I kick some dirt, I get back on the slab. There's all these moments where the brain can melt you.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I will attribute that to Kershaw directly, maybe part of it, but it's not congruent with what he does and what he has done for 13 years.
Yeah.
It's
amazing. Because he is so good. And there have been moments, even in postseasons, where he has been so good. And it almost feels like if you're his skip, if you're Dave Roberts, you have to cut him off at the pass. Because he's the kind of player, when you ask him how you feeling, you know what he's going to tell you.
Yep.
Right? Especially in a game like last night. Now, this wasn't a knockout game, absolute must win, but it was as close to as must win as you can get if you're the LA Dodgers and you're getting beat the way that you have been, save for Game 3 where they scored 15 runs. But other than that, it's all of these games have felt tight. And so if you are a skip and it's almost feel like you need to protect him from himself, right? From the narrative that's there.
That's
an easier proposition probably, because if you pull him after 5, now you got 4 innings that you got to manage with your bullpen. And we know where Kenley Jansen is or isn't. Even though I don't know if that's necessarily the right move to pull him as they have and made him not the closer because it didn't help. But you almost feel like if you're Dave Roberts, you got to take on a heavier role with a guy who is fighting against something that's not necessarily his fault and he can't control.
He's fighting 2 things. He's fighting his health and he's fighting this narrative.
Yeah.
Which at this point is
And he's not thinking. There's no way he's not thinking about it. There's no way he's up there like, yeah, man, I'm not thinking about this. Yeah, this 6th inning comes. Okay, I'm cool. There's no way.
I agree.
There's no way he's not thinking about it.
It's probably amplified the deeper you go into the game.
Yes, that's right.
I'll use this analogy. Everybody's got a benchmark. You want to break 100 for the first time. You want to be in the 80s for the first time in golf. And you're not thinking about it the first, even though if you're playing well and you have a shot, oh man, 14th hole. You know, suddenly around that 15th hole, you start doing what you shouldn't. I got a 4, I got a 3, that's 7 plus 5 is 12, plus 4 is 16.
Yeah.
I shot a 46 on the front.
I know exactly what you're saying. You start counting. You're like, dude, all I got to do is do this. All I got to do is not like double bogey,
yep,
3 holes in a row.
And what happens?
You triple,
it's over. And you don't think that when you tee up the first shot of the day.
No.
And I don't think he thinks that when he leaves the bullpen for the first pitch of the game. What's crazy about this, and, you know, listen, this Koufax thing that I got into earlier, I'm not going to really weave Koufax in here. I don't know that it's fully relevant. But if you want to jump on Facebook or Twitter and you want to jump in on that, just go to my Twitter account, at Brandon Tierney. I'd love to see what you think. I can't really get into it now because it doesn't really satisfy the Kershaw angle. But what I will say is, for a guy who's got 3 Cy Youngs, he should very easily have 2 more. Mm-hmm. He could have won it in 2012, could have won it in 2017. He's got 5 ERA titles. He's one of the few pitchers. Koufax did it as well. Roger Clemens did it in 86. Hernandez with the Tigers in 84, the relief pitcher. And there's some others. But there's a handful of pitchers that won MVPs. He did it. He's got every accolade. If he stays healthy, he's going to blow by 3,000 strikeouts. He's got, I think, 176 wins, which is a different measurement now. I get that. But I don't understand why this happens. But I do think it's a little unfairly tilted, and let me tell you why. Because the ERA is what it is. I mean, now he's in a territory where this, I want to make sure I want to read this. So in 177 and one-third innings pitched, which is 7th most all-time in the history of baseball in playoff baseball, he's got the highest ERA. Okay?
Wow.
That's
saying a lot.
That's
a
problem.
Yeah.
But you also have to weave this in. A couple of weeks ago against the Brewers, so 2020 season, he had 13 strikeouts in 8 innings pitch against, that was a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Game 2 of the NLDS against the Braves, 8 shutout innings, 2017 World Series, that would have been game 1, 11 strikeouts. Like, there are fleeting, and not even fleeting, there are, like, moments.
Examples of him doing what you would expect him to do.
And not for
as
4 innings.
Yes.
Sustained examples.
Yes.
I don't have the answer. I wish I had the answer. I don't have the answer.
Yeah.
I don't have the answer.
Yeah, and it's a shame, too, because it's going to take over the conversation about him. And
not for me, though.
Well,
not fully for me.
For baseball folks, probably not. But for people who parachute in, who jump into it, and then aren't Dodgers fans, it's going to be the forever knock.
I would agree with that. Those people, I think you're right. I would agree with that. Now, that's – go ahead, Teague.
I was going to say, you feel for him, too. Because there's not really – not that he – because I don't take him as this kind of guy, like person. Because I don't know if I've even heard him – ever raise his voice, you know what I mean? Like, to get animated about something.
He's intense, but I think he's respectful, but he's intense.
That's right. I know he's intense, but I'm trying to think if I've heard him, like, yell, like, get mad.
And so
when this on a perception of him gets presented, he can't really even combat it. You know what I mean? And he could throw out all of the successes that he's had. All the ones you just mentioned, there's plenty of more, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That still won't satisfy the fact that in these moments when they've needed him to go 8 innings and be an ace, he just seems to fall short for an inning and a half or 2.
He does. That's indisputable. He's a product of pitching in the wrong era. In terms of the micro criticism, you know, you probably heard me reference Ernie Banks' name a few times. The great Cub. Let's play two Ernie Banks, shortstop, first baseman, 500 bombs, right? And Ernie never had a single at bat in the playoffs. Never played 1 inning in the postseason. Now, because it was a long time ago, and now it's like we romanticize, and rightfully so, because he was in the middle of the infield. He was hitting bombs. Back then, that wasn't the case. You had little guys like Buddy Harrelson, little tiny dudes, you know? Second baseman, for the most part, outside of Joe Morgan, may rest in peace, and even Ernie was before that. Second baseman were bunting and slapping it down. Think about Phil Rizzuto, Pee Wee Reese. This guy was a masher. But because of when he played, you know, we didn't have the outlets and the devices, and quite frankly, maybe the negativity as society to just gloss over the great and really truly fixate on the bad and or the lack of accomplishments. But in 2020, when he could just fire up a scouting report on social media and possibly 330 million people could see it in our country alone, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
It's unfortunate.
You can't. There's only one way to thwart it. You can't block people. You can, but you just have to go out and put some zeros up when it matters. That's it.
That's right. And or, you know, and as it pertains to this series, win tonight, win tomorrow, and then get a shot.
How about come out of the pen in game seven for a frame?
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever it is, that's the only way we're going to stop talking about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to at least get this in because from this point forward, we're all football the rest of the way, just about. You know, I got to tell you, because there's too many people in our business who won't do this. I love doing this because I don't even know the guy. I like recognizing good, talented people.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Anderson is good at his job. That call on Correa, first of all, Ron Darling's great. We know Ronnie from SNY with the Mets, and he does national stuff with CBS too. But Anderson, he was in the bubble in Orlando. Yep. That dude's a talented broadcaster who I think he's good in basketball. I think he's borderline great in baseball. That was a phenomenal call.
It's funny because I don't hear it. It's fun. I don't pay attention as much as some others do.
And it's trickier now, Tiki, because if you're doing if you're doing TV, and you know Correa hits especially if they're in Houston, and he hits a walk off, 50,000 people tell the story.
Yeah,
but because you know it's sparsely attended, or in the other championship series not attended, you know you've got to really negotiate and navigate the lack of energy from the crowd, but still not overwhelm it like a radio call. And that's not easy to do. Yeah. He's a talented guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. He's the play-by-play guy, obviously.
Yeah, play-by-play. And he seems like a good guy, too. So shout out to Anderson making some good calls. So that's not the first one either. Had a great call on Stanton's home run in San Diego that did hit the tower in left field. I mean, he's put in some really good work. All right, let's get a break. Coming up, I'm all wrapped up in this Kershaw. I don't even know what we have coming up here. Let me get back. What do we got here, T? What do we got? I'll get it for you. This Kershaw stuff drives me nuts.
Yeah, well, soon it's going to be inbounds and out of bounds. We're not quite there at inbounds and out of bounds.
But we got the Colts. Their facility is reopened. There's the term false positive, which is crept back into our lexicon. So that's why we've got to always tap the brakes and, you know, move through intelligently any possible COVID outbreak. I think we were sensible about this, and now it looks like we have a different script. So we'll get to that coming up right next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We've got Sharp Tierney, who was on a roll, and every time we have a winning week, we've had a bunch of them so far, we had a new prop. I'm looking at it right in the corner. It's pretty sweet. So we'll get to that coming up an hour or two, 5:20 Eastern or so. I think Tiki's back. Tiki, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, so what time are you leaving for the game today?
7 o'clock my flight leaves.
By the way, were you just doing push-ups? It sounded like you were breathing heavy. What were you just doing?
No, so we Tracy's giving one of our upstairs tables away.
Okay.
So it needs to be on the front porch. So I had to
Daddy and hubby had to go do it.
No, Daddy had to go do it.
That's what I'm saying. Daddy and hubby.
Yeah, I thought you meant like she helped me.
No, daddy and hubby job.
No, I picked it up and carried it downstairs. So it was heavy.
Me big player. Me lift table.
Exactly.
All right. So, but it sounds heavy, man, because you panted over there.
It was heavy. And it's three stories. You know my attic. It's all the way up at the top.
It's the mansion. It's the Barber Mansion.
That's top.
Okay, so.
We just have finished floors every level, so that's why.
Okay. You guys are doing a lot of work, aren't you?
Yeah, putting a bar in the basement. So once this thing is all done.
Yeah.
You got to get the fan. There's still the playroom down there, too. So bring the kids. We'll lock them in the playroom.
Yep.
You will sit at the bar.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. Well, the bars will be popping wherever the bars are open in terms of being able to get behind some spirit with this monster SEC battle, which we'll get into. And Teak is obviously heading down the road after the show, as he said. But, you know, you wake up and you kind of, you know, put on the computer or you grab your phone if it's by your nightstand, then button probably is. All right, what did I miss last night? Is there a Schefter tweet? Is there some sort of, you know, is there a positive test? Is there a trail? Is there something that is going to change the course of the NFL weekend? And it seemed a little, although to be fair, and I was watching Diana Rossini this morning early on ESPN, she was all over it. I think I don't know if she broke it, but she spoke to people in the Colts building. She's obviously very good at her job and connected. And she was saying that she didn't get the same impression, this is before the false positives, by the way, that it was the same level of angst and concern that she detected when she spoke to the Titans people when that first broke. So that tapped the brakes a little bit, and then we got, you know, final resolution, much like with Odell Beckham Jr., where that was negative, and that's good for him. These were false positives. So four of them, all four of them false positives.
Which is crazy, because you think about the testing should be getting better, and it's really key towards helping us curtail and contain these things that are potential outbreaks. Now, the protocols have been altered significantly since the beginning of the season. The testing, which was going to be temporary every day, is now always every day. That's a good thing. If you have symptoms that aren't necessarily COVID, say you just have a cold, they send you home for basically having a cold, if you're sneezing or whatever it may be. And I guess that's smart, but you know, it also raises the alarm a lot quicker than I think we is probably good, because it creates this narrative that the world is coming to an end, at least the football world is coming to an end, when in actuality some of these positives that are being, you know, predicted or projected might not even be players, right? Because you don't get real clarity. Sometimes you do, but sometimes you don't. In fact, I think for the Atlanta Falcons, at least one or two of them were in the front office. The same thing could be said, you know, with some of these other facilities. It doesn't necessarily have to be a player. First thing you think about when you hear positive tests is, oh, God, there's an outbreak amongst the team. But it might not even be tier one employees that are having to, you know, causing the facility to get shut down. So it almost gets like out of control, overexcited.
Yeah.
And I mean, not excited in a bad way.
No, I know what you mean.
Because you hear these things, but it's often not something that's going to affect the game on Sunday.
No, I think that's an important point, and I'm happy that you bring that in. What I would like to know, like, why the NBA didn't have a single false positive.
That's right.
Neither did the NHL. I know there's bubbles, but to your point, are they administering different tests? I mean, maybe using different labs, but I thought the tests were similar. It seems like there's just a lot of false positives in the NFL. I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah, I don't either. And, you know, it causes disruption. We've already seen all these games that have been rescheduled. Now, those were for legitimate cases. That was the Bills and the New England Patriots issue that caused some rescheduling for, I think, 8 teams now. But that's different than, you know, on a Thursday or even today, a Friday, you get a team shutting down their facility and they're getting ready to travel. And it creates chaos.
Well, think about the Cardinals last week when they were going to play that team. Sitting out on their tarmac, basically out west in Arizona.
That's right.
Coming to getting ready to fly basically 3,000 miles to New Jersey. And it was touch and go. And then finally there was a tweet at, like, you know, maybe 5 Eastern-ish around there. And all right, proceeding as planned here. Yep. Cardinals are going to go because
same
whatever
thing
happened with the
that, it was false positives, wasn't it?
Yes.
I think it was. I'm almost positive. It was false positive.
It's
been a lot of these in the NFL. I think it might be time for them to change their facility, their testing facility. Or seriously.
It's the only league that's been plagued by this. And I'm not – listen, this is not like – well, the NFL's doing a terrible job at this. It's just an acknowledgement that the NBA was bubbled up.
Yeah.
No false positives. But really, whether you're in a bubble or you're coming from a party, I mean, the test should be the test.
Yeah.
Independent of the bubble
That's
or seclusion.
Right. Now, there
NHL,
are
NHL, no issues. WNBA, no issues.
And now, there are a significantly higher number of tests that have to be performed for the NFL.
True, but there wasn't a single one in all three sports. I don't know if there was one in the WNBA. I don't want to misspeak on that.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so at all.
But I know for a fact there wasn't a single false positive in the NBA or the NHL. So you're right. I mean, the NBA, you've got, you know, basically 12 guys who dress, a couple of guys in suit, a couple of strength and conditioning coaches, but, you know, 4 or 5 coaches, medical staff, maybe 40-ish people, PR, personnel, stuff like that. In the NFL, you got a traveling party of over 100. Understood. Yeah. It's certainly more arduous and, you know, tough to be so – you can try to be vigilant, but stuff's going to fall through the cracks, you would think, based on the numbers. But if you add the NHL and the NBA and the WNBA, now there's much more, you know, closely related numbers-wise to the NFL – and they went through a whole season, or at least an entire playoff. The NFL's only been doing this for 5 weeks.
I know it. Yeah, WNBA.
A little more than that, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, because of the preseason. Yeah. But the WNBA had their entire season. Because they played, what, 30-something games?
Correct.
And they had the postseason. It was
correct.
All in the bubble. Mm-hmm. No issues at all. They crowned a champion with no issues. No cancellations, no nothing. And the NFL is having some – and again, the NFL is not in a bubble, so I get it. We're in a pandemic. This is bound to happen. But at the end of the day, it's troubling the number of false positives that we're getting because of how disruptive it gets to potential scheduling. Mm-hmm. Even though they haven't had to really make amends, it gets there.
Yeah, I don't disagree. All right, let's get the update from Bob Huesler. Coming up after that, so Anthony Davis, the plan now for AD is to opt out, okay? It's his contractual right, not a real surprise. But what he might have up his sleeve could surprise you. We're going to get to that after Bob's update, which is right now. Here's Bob. Bounds Out of Bounds coming up in a moment. Sharp Tierney lurks, getting ready to make some picks. Get your winnies here coming up in third hour. Tomorrow, the SEC on CBS is in primetime for one of the biggest games of the season. My partner, Teak, will be doing his thing in the radio booth. Third-rated Georgia heads to Tuscaloosa to take on number 2 Alabama. Coverage on the Tube, 7 Eastern with the Drive to Atlanta, presented by Mercedes-Benz, followed by State Farm College Football Today. Leads up to the kick at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Tomorrow night, the SEC is on CBS, and this is the game that you will watch because this is the game that you have to watch. All right, Teak, you ready for a little Inbounds Out of Bounds? See what Santa cooked up today?
I am. Let's do it. Let's
go. Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
Got some good ones. Let's start with this. Sunday's Ravens blowout win over the Bengals. Now, Baltimore led 27-0 with just 37 seconds to go. The Bengals were facing a fourth down inside the red zone, but rather than go for the touchdown and try for a miracle win. Miracle win? With 37 seconds left? Since he opted to kick a field goal and end the shutout. Yesterday, Ravens defensive coordinator Wink Martindale expressed a little perturbedness with the Bengals.
Would you be able to share your reaction and feelings when you see the Bengals go out to kick a field goal with 37 seconds left in a 27-0 game?
Why are you doing that to me, James? You know what it was. All right, he knew what it was because it was awful quiet when I yelled it across the field. So there's some people that take that as a victory. We'll see. We got plenty to talk about next time we play him.
Wow, dropping threats, that very ominous tone. Sounds like he's ready for business. The Bengals giving up and going for the field goal just to break up the shutout was in or out.
I'm going to say inbounds, man. It is
really?
Like you just shutouts are bad, man. They just look ugly. You don't live them down, man. I remember up in Minnesota, they still talk about that NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Whenever someone talks about it with me, they're like 41 donut. That's all they say, 41 donut. They got shut out in one of the most important games of their season. Getting shut out is bad. 41-3, that would have been different. At least you got on the board.
Yep.
27 donut, that's ugly.
You know what? I'm messing with you. I totally agree. And by the way, they didn't give up because what would have really been giving up is if they took a knee and didn't try to score any points. I mean,
that's not.
You're down 27-0. It's inside of 40 seconds. No matter what happens, if they tried to let you win, you wouldn't be able to win that game. So take the 3 spot. And listen, stop begging, Wink. I mean, really, he's a hell of a coach. But, Wink, stop begging. Because you get a shutout, you earn a shutout. And, you know, it seems a little petty. All right, I get it. Maybe,
keep
you know, you have
field goal range, right?
Yeah, what do you want him to do? Take a knee? I mean, or go for a ridiculous touchdown that you're probably not going to make anyway. So then you get the shutout anyway. Worry about your team. Now, in his defense, he was asked about it. He didn't volunteer it. So I appreciate the forthright nature of the answer, but no, I mean, you're still going to lose. You may as well leave with an ounce of integrity. Take the 3 and get out.
Are you in or are you out?
Anthony Davis, AD, won his first NBA title with the Lakers. That was pretty amazing. Now he's got a decision to make here about his future, as we know. All right, so AD is expected to opt out of his current 2-year deal, but is planning to re-sign with the Lakers. However, while Davis could get about a 5-year, $200 million max contract, he's more likely to sign another 2-year deal worth around $68 million with an option for year 2. So keep playing this game that all the stars have been playing lately. We know what it is. In or out, considering Davis's injury history, he should sign the five-year deal rather than continue going for short-term deals.
Yeah, this is – I don't know if this
great question.
It is, but I don't know if it has anything to do with injury history. I think it's more about what's the cap going to look like in 2 years from now, and is LeBron James – where's LeBron James going to be? He's likely to be retired, then he's going to be the guy. So I'm of two minds here because if the Lakers aren't going to stay competitive after LeBron James retires or is no longer a Laker, does Anthony Davis want to be stuck there? But at the same time, if you're Anthony Davis, don't you want to run this out two more years or however how long it is with LeBron James, win maybe another title, and then have L.A. to yourself? So I'm going to say out of bounds. I don't think he should sign the five-year deal. Yeah. It's not for injury reasons. I think it's just for to get. He needs to have flexibility for whatever happens post LeBron. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
I'm going to say inbounds here. Fair points. Very fair points. You want to know what the roster looks like? Mm-hmm. Where's LeBron's game at this point? You know, are the Lakers still well run? You never know. I mean, you never can Bus sell the team. You never know what could happen in the span of 5 years. So I think that it's certainly savvy to maintain great flexibility, as much flexibility as you can, pertaining to your future earnings and career path. But he does get banged up a lot, and he's not 22, 23. You know, he's upper 20s now. And God forbid if there was an injury. I mean, any player could say, like, if there's a catastrophic injury. But if there's just, you know, two or three more injuries, and let's face it, there's going to be. He didn't have to play 82 games this year. He didn't have to play 82 games. Mm. Didn't have to travel, so that the body was – it was a little different. I really get your answer. I could easily say I'm with you on that. But his injury history, I'm taking the 5 years. I'm guaranteeing myself $200 million. I'm chilling.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Giannis might be chilling in South Beach pretty soon. Sorry, Bucks fans. Let's see. They fell short of the finals again. And now the two-time reigning MVP is entering the final year of his deal in Milwaukee. Now, Shams reports that the Eastern Conference champion Heat might hold off on giving Bam an extension because, according to sources, quote, Miami's preparing to go all in on the pursuit of one Giannis in 2021 free agency, end quote. In or out, Miami would be the best landing spot for Giannis long term.
I'm going to say out of bounds of that. I think Giannis is going to be one of those rare guys that just stays loyal. He's going to stay in Milwaukee. They're going to decide to spend the money, go get him another star. Hopefully draft well around him.
But how are they going to get him that star, by the way?
He's going to have to start convincing people.
Good luck.
It is what it is. You champion the values.
Not happening.
Living small.
Market. I can tell by your voice you don't even believe what you're saying.
I think that, look, but I do believe that he will stay. I'm going to say inbounds.
Okay.
I mean, out of bounds.
Out of bounds. I think he might stay too, but the way it's framed, Miami would be the best landing spot. I'd love to see him stay. I would love to see the great, hardworking fans and long-suffering fans before recently of the Bucks be rewarded with, depends if he wins a few more MVPs, maybe an all-timer, certainly one of the greatest of his generation without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at least pertaining to the Miami aspect of this, I want to know a couple things. Number one, if I'm going to, and this applies to Anthony Davis as well in the previous question, there are certain things I can control, certain things I can't. All right, like injury, I can't control necessarily. I can't control the dynamics of like signing of recognizing the dynamics of a franchise. And I mean, when I say that, name a better head coach, GM, or president duo than Spoelstra and Riley.
There
I don't know if
many.
There is any.
No.
All right.
Not off the top of my head right now.
You know, I mean, Myers is very good. Steve Kerr is very good. Warriors very good. There's a couple in the conversation. I get it. But Pat Riley's done it. I mean, hell,
for
he did it
time.
With Shaq.
Yeah.
He did it with Zoe. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he did it with LeBron. He just does it. He does it.
Yeah, history's on his side.
Yes. And here's the other thing. In Miami, say if he does go there and he trusts in that union of Spoelstra and Riley, and he should, and they still fall short, you know that just the mere destination, like the location, I should say, will always be a destination for blossoming stars or veteran stars looking to join up and win a chip or add to their legacy. And if you're in Milwaukee, and again, I mean, you know, so much respect for those like tough winters and good people and great sports town. It ain't Miami, and it's never going to be Miami. And players don't want to go and play there unless they get drafted there. And then there's a decent chance most of them will try to bounce. So in terms of his legacy with the championship, I think Miami probably would be the best spot. Yeah.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, T, we've discussed at length the Big 12, the struggles here and aversion to defense. Mm-hmm. We've known that for years, but now we've got the favorites, Texas and Oklahoma. Both teams falling out of the rankings. They're 2-2. All right. However, one Big 12 team's quietly sitting in the top 10. Mike Gundy. Oh, Mike, crazy guy. Say that jokingly. Take
yeah.
it easy, Mike. Mike Gundy, 7th-ranked Oklahoma State Cowboys. Now, unfortunately, their game this week against Baylor. Baylor's had all sorts of issues, postponed due to a COVID outbreak at Baylor. But Gundy revealed the team tried to find a last-minute replacement just to keep things going. It's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. In or out, OK State will be in the conversation for the college football playoff.
I'm going to say out of bounds of that, BT. I like what they've been able to do. I like their running back, Chuba Hubbard.
Hubbard, yeah. Hasn't played great this year, though, Chuba. First couple of games were quiet.
And that's my point, BT. Like they've been really good, but I worry that they're not as good as they even were last year. And their quarterback has been banged up.
Yep.
And I just think once the Big Ten and maybe even the Pac-12 with Oregon being one of those teams that's going to be in the conversation, they're going to get knocked down a peg. And I don't know how they're going to go undefeated all season, even though they are the only undefeated team in the Big 12 right now, which tells you a little bit about the Big 12. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
All right. I'm going to say inbounds here. I'm going to say that they'll be in the conversation, but I'm going to parse it this way. There's the meat of the conversation, and then there's the periphery of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And they will not be within the meaty part of the – they're not going to be on the barbecue necessarily, but they might be in the cooler, possibly going on the barbecue if somebody, you know, gets burned or stumbles, whatever. Listen, and they're on the periphery with the Cincinnati's, BYU, teams like that. They're in the conversation. Ohio State hasn't taken a snap.
I know.
So we can sit here, oh, the Buckeyes.
But that conversation's not happening until December. So it's still October.
Understood. And your point, if they lose, that changes everything dramatically. And I do think that they will lose again, but I don't view them as
looking
that.
Looking at their schedule.
I don't view them as that kind of a powerhouse. Then again, the conference is very down this year because we know what's happened with Oklahoma. Not that Texas has been running away with anything anyway, but Texas already has 2 losses. It's not even Halloween yet. I'm going to say inbounds. It's a wacky season, and I'm going to chalk that up as a wacky occurrence. Yeah, I'll give the Cowboys the nod. Sure, why not?
Are you in or are you out?
You have the schedule real quick?
Yeah, so obviously Baylor is postponed. That's this weekend. Yeah. Iowa State, who's played pretty well. They had that baffling loss to Louisiana Lafayette. Beginning of the season, but Iowa State, then Texas, Kansas State.
I mean, they could lose the Texas game.
Of course.
They could lose the Kansas State game.
Exactly. They could lose, and then Oklahoma is next. And then Texas Tech and TCU. They're not losing to Texas Tech.
Hey, TCU beat Texas.
Yeah, I know.
Truth of the matter is, there's probably more than one loss in there.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it because it's a cool story, but yeah, that's a little daunting, even if it's not a great great conference right now. All right, you know, D-Cell, give me a – go ahead, trigger that.
Thing. Are you in or are you out?
Back in May, Tiger Woods, Tiger.
Tiger who?
Stick with Tiger Woods right now. Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, and Peyton. Remember, it was raining. They put on what a show. It was funny in the match. It was a lot of fun. Not as fun as this, though. Now there's reports that say Mickelson and Peyton will be back. Cool. And they'll be joined by Steph Curry, who's got a lot of game, as we know. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Well, go ahead.
The Stanky Land. Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley. The round mound, the rebound is infamous. The comical swings. I actually feel for the guy. That's how bad he is. So while Tiger and Brady are better golfers, clearly, and bigger names, you could say, the third version of the match will be more entertaining because of Barkley.
I think this is inbounds.
Yeah, it's going to be hysterical.
Because he's going to be talking the whole time. He's going to be – I mean, they're going to have to put this on delay.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, there's no
or
doubt.
Just put it on cable and let him curse.
Yeah, that's true. Because you know he's going to be talking trash. This is going to be like Happy Gilmore out there.
Side bets.
I'm telling you, dude.
Right?
It's going to be great. It's going to be entertaining. This one actually is more interesting to watch because of the personality that Charles is. And I know he's older and he's got an ugly ass swing, but he's must watch television no matter what he's doing.
I totally agree. I hope he finds a way to get his game a little tight. You know, you hear him, they always rag him on the show with Ketty and Shaq and Ernie. And, you know, he's like, yeah, I'm playing well. I was in the high 80s. And then you see him on TV in like Reno, and it's like he's shooting a 129. It's baffling. So I'm always rooting for Charles because, you know, I've been relatively, but I've also had some torturous, you know, times on the golf course, more than the average person for sure, playing lefty and righty. So I get it, but I want to see him find some happiness on the golf course. I really do. I don't want to see him find happiness during this match, to be clear, because then it wouldn't be very funny. But he's going to have a couple drinks in him. He's not going to give a rat's behind.
Mm-hmm.
Side bets, curses, shanks, lost balls. He will be an absolute trip. It's going to be hysterical.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
I mean, I'm trying to think who you could inject into, like, instead of Charles. Even if you said, all right, you know, I don't even know if Snoop plays golf.
Yeah.
Snoop, you know, bring the nine blunts that we know you're bringing, blaze them up whatever you want, and hit the ball. Like, I don't even think that would be as fun as Charles Barkley.
No, because we know Charles loves golf. Like,
yes.
Charles wants to be good at golf. It's not like he just does it to mess around.
He's the Clayton Kershaw of golf. He can't get it out of his head.
Yeah, right. Probably, I mean, in a sense, yeah. He was a great athlete at one point, but he's old now, Charles.
Yeah, you know? He's starting to look at the bodies. He's had some knee issues, I hear you. But, you know, everybody that played with him back in the day said he used to stripe it, and he was in the 80s.
I bet he was.
Well, what the hell happened?
You get into your own head, man.
Like that?
Well, you know what probably happened?
Stanky leg.
I'm trying to think if this happened around his hip replacement. Because you have a hip replacement, it just changes your, you know what I mean?
I don't think so. He's been like this for 20 years.
Yeah, I think he had a hip replaced 20 years ago.
20 years ago? We'll fact check it, just like the town halls. Third hour coming up, Bama, Georgia. That's next. Should be fun.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.